Alrighty, so the title of this is Mind Your Business. And when Pastor Jackie had asked me what would I speak about, and it was like I had it and I should have gave it to her then, but I didn't because I was still like, I'm still working on it. And it was like, mind your business with the emphasis on mind. So our focus today will be on the mind. So just before I want to go and do a little recap of what we from the first session. And this is mental illness, just to remind those who were not able to make it the first. Here we go. So mental illness is unhealthy and defined behaviors that changes a person's thinking, feelings, or behaviors. Also causes the person's distress and difficulty in functioning. Mental health stems from psychological functions such as psychological trauma suffered as a child, emotional, physical, or sexual abuse, which is an important early loss or neglect. The causes of mental health also can come from your family history, life experiences, such as stress and abuse, chemical balances, imbalances in your brain, brain injuries, mother's exposure, toxins while she's pregnant, and just, sometimes our coping skills are not well. So when we have unhealthy coping skills, that causes some type of mental health, which is the difficulty to manage how one thinks, feels, and acts with respect to daily stresses. So again, the signs of mental illness is excessive worry, paranoia or anxiety, long-lasting sadness or irritability, extreme changes in moods, social withdrawal, dramatic changes in eating and sleeping patterns. So mind your business. So let's go deeper by examining the most important body function, that's your brain. And in your brain is your mind. So as we remember that mental health is a mind disease that is governed through the experiences of the individual, that is why mind your business is critical, because it's your mind. Your mind is the most powerful and effective organ in your body, and it controls all aspects of your life. So again, you must take care of your mind. A couple definitions for this is from a psychology perspective, it's an abstract concept used to characterize thoughts, feelings, subjective states, and self-awareness that presumably arise from the brain. Another one I got from Google was the element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world and their experiences, to think and to feel, the faculty of consciousness and thought, or another one is a person's intellect. But in the verb sense, it's to be distressed, annoyed, or worried. Another one is regard as important or feel concerned about. So mental illness is characterized by the mindset. So let us focus on the verb definition of the mind as it relates to mental illness. So there's different types of mindsets that an individual deals with when they have mental illness. That's the wandering mind. And the wandering mind is a person they can't stay on track. That's kind of your people you might deal with ADHD, which is another type of disorder. They're easily distraction or attention deficit. That's another one. They can't focus. Their mind is all over the place. You also have those ones that have a confused mind. It's like they're boggled. Their brain fogs. They can't think straight. They're just like in like a deer with headlights, you know, and they're just like, they cannot conceptualize, or they can't put things together because their mind is kind of in a fog. You have those that are doubt or unbelieving minds, and they just don't believe things. You know, that's a lot of negativity with them. You have the anxious or worrying mind that constantly worries about everything. They can't rest. They kind of like ADHD, it's everything is always looping. Their thoughts are always reeling. And again, they're negative thoughts, right? Then you have like the critical, judgmental, and a suspicious mind. And those people, they're very guarded. They're very withdrawn. They're never satisfied. The words are always kind of harsh and they're unyielding. And then you have the passive mind. And that's the kind of mind that just is like, whatever, I don't care. Just, you know, it's just very kind of laid back, which is like flat. And so the next one is the thoughts and minds that kind of match up with the disorder. So when we think of thoughts and an anxious mind and anxious thoughts is what if I can't do this? What if I don't get it? Or how is this going to happen? Or this way or that way? So you're always kind of just questioning. You know what I mean? And there's anxiety with the questioning because you remember you have no control over things. There's, you know, I always tell people when you're anxious, it's just because you can't control something. Then there's the depressed mind, and that's the, you know, that type of mindset. Those thoughts are, you know, they're always, everything's negative. Oh, I don't like myself. Oh, it's damp outside and the sun could be shining and beaming. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, I hate myself. I hate the way I look. You know, I don't like this person. I don't like that person. You know, it's always negative, downing, a confused mind. That's kind of where we deal with schizophrenic and psychotic people. You know, their reality, remember, it's not there. The perception of things are so off. Or they have delusions or hallucinations and things like that, where, you know, their perception is this, you know, real or really, you know, had someone we had yesterday, a couple days ago, thought she was married to Chris Hemsworth's brother. Okay, there you go right there. That lets you know somebody's psychotic because they're not in a lived reality. You know, they're in their own reality. You have a distressed, which is PTSD. PTSD. And it is, I cannot get over, you know, what I did. I cannot get it out of my mind. PT, you know, that's trauma, right? So it's almost, that's associated with shame and guilt, right? You keep reliving stuff all over and over again in your mind. Again, it's reeling, it's spinning. It can't stop thinking about those traumatic experiences, which, you know, so you keep just reeling it. And so out of our thoughts is our mind, and out of our mind are our emotions. And mental health causes individual thoughts to be distorted, which also affects the emotions. And we kind of call this in counseling cognitive distortions, and there's a ton of them. But basically, it's just like your perception of things are, you know, they're not true, or your reasoning for things, you reason things that are not good. Again, that's also associated, you know, a lot of times with your, you know, with anxiety, you know, your PTSDs, your bipolars, like the disorder. So cognitive distortions, it runs actually through all of the disorders. Remember, we're dealing with the mind and your thoughts. And you know how important they are and how your thoughts are tied to your emotions. And so your emotions are causes your behaviors. So everything kind of has like a trickling down effect. Let's see. So remember about emotions. Out of our thoughts, out of our mind, it's our emotions. And mental health causes the individual thoughts to be distorted, which also affects the emotions, which I stated earlier. So let's kind of look at some negative emotions that an individual exhibits when you're dealing with mental health and apathy. Those are individuals that they don't have much emotion or interest at all. Again, that's kind of like that. It's called a flat affect. It's just like, you know, kind of like your passive person, but it's just like you got no emotion, no nothing. It's kind of void of, you know, everything, you know, it's kind of almost like you're a mummy or whatever, or you numb to it. Again, you deal with grief. You know, the loss of something can spin you into like a despair, where despair turns into anxiety and depression, right? You have the fear. Anxiety, again, is fear-based. You know, you don't have control over it. So you fear the unknown. You know, a lot of people that I deal with at work, they fear that. You know, they talk about their life, they don't understand it. And a lot of our youth, you know, when I do the assessment, they talk about the unknown, the fear of the unknown, the fear of this or the fear of that. You know, so they're dealing with increased anxiety and depression, which kind of leads to their suicidal ideations. Then you have hatred, which is that's strong, right? You have hatred, you know, for how your life was turned. You know, or last night I was actually in a prayer Zoom, and the apostle, the prophetess, she was talking about the hatred of God. You know, how sometimes, you know, we get angry at God for things that have happened into our lives, and, you know, because we don't understand, we hate, you know, or a person disappoints us so bad that it turns, you know, that spirit of offense turns it to hatred, you know what I mean? And that causes you to be depressed. That causes an individual to be, you know, anxious. That messes with your mind, you know what I mean? That becomes traumatic for you, where you will deal with, you again, the PTSD may come in from that. Again, the shame, you know, associated with the things that you have done that you are not happy about, you know, that you feel bad about, things that you've done in your past that you know you should not have done, but you've done it anyway, and you're shameful about it. And then blaming. I like this one, how those who refuse to, you know, address their own issues, they like to blame everybody else because they cannot cope with, I did this to myself, so I have to blame it on somebody else. It's kind of an ABC effect to things, you know. A, you wouldn't let me have that cookie, so B, I went and I took the cookie, which C, now I'm getting ready to get my butt tore up. But they don't look at that. They kind of look at A, because A didn't give me what I wanted. Regret, that is another also strong emotion that we deal with. I know we all have dealt with regret in our lives. You know, the regret of not doing things the right way, the regret of not following the directions that, you know, someone was trying to help us with, or, you know, the regrets of just anything. Resentment. Oh, that's a really good, mighty one right there. As I talked about earlier, that spirit of offense comes in through resentment because you're offended by that person or something. Or you're resentful that somebody got something that you didn't get, you know. So there you can deal with a goodbye, you know, if you're in a manic phase, you know, that could hit in, and you might really just go off, or, you know, just resenting doing things that, you know, you shouldn't have done. And then you have anger and hostility. And, you know, that one's a really big one for us, dealing with anger and hostility about life, you know. Or we're angry at, you know, things didn't go our way, or we're hostile towards things because people did certain things to us, so we don't want to be bothered anymore, you know, so we put up our, you know, our guards and things like that. But these are things, or they exhibit it. You'll hear that in depression. You will hear that probably in manic people. You will hear that in psychotic people. They will have a lot of anger and resentment, and you literally can feel it. The hostility, like, you know, you could feel their anger, you know. And I think sometimes it's because they just don't know how to talk. They just don't know how to verbalize it well enough because, again, they're going through, you know, maybe so much pain or guilt. But again, it's all negative. If you notice, it's all negative. There's nothing positive about having, you know, dealing with mental health in a negative perspective. And when you deal with that in your emotions, your coping skills, Which I didn't put in there, which I should have. Your coping skills are not good, right? So you're exhibiting negative coping mechanisms, which you know is what you could be buying stuff, you know, spending money that you really don't have. Like I said earlier, you could be overeating or undereating or sleeping. You use vices like drugs and alcohol, or unhealthy behaviors, you know what I mean? Sexual, like being sexually promiscuous, you know what I mean? Because you want to fill that void, you know what I mean? Going, you know, just being around the wrong type of people just so you can feel loved. Like in the beginning, when I talked about it, the last one, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And when you really look at this and you break it down, it's the need that is not being met, but on a in an emotional, you know. So let's look at that in that need. The basic need of an individual is not being met. Security is being lost. You know, eating is being like there's so many things that in that first layer of Maslow's hierarchy or ease, which is to me the most important, is not being met in mental health. It's not being met in your mind. It's not being met in your emotions. And as we talked about or discussed before, that family, that generational, you know, how everything kind of trickles down. You learned this from this person and this. Remember, we grow up modernly what we were, what we grew up in. You know, so a lot of times I was talking to a coworker yesterday and we were talking about the African-American experience, right? And how, you know, slavery really did us in really good, right? And so we struggle a lot in, you know, she nicely put it how what goes on in this house stays in this house, right? And so a lot of the bad things that we, you know, had to do, you know, we had to endure, we had to pack that all in and put on those performances, right? Dress yourself up, you know, and make like your life was perfect. And meanwhile, when you close that door to your house, all hell's breaking loose. And you know, that's where you see your PTSD really come in at. And even as I shared, like, I believe that my mom, I may have, you know, in utero, you know, got this depression. You know what I mean? Like, it comes from the family. You know, I believe that, you know, I came out from my mother because, you know, she dealt with it, you know, undiagnosed. You know, but we look at the trickle down of things, you know, and how do we cope with things? And that's where our mind is struggles with. We struggle with how do we cope with somebody abusing me that I thought loved me? How do we cope that I'm not getting, you know, emotionally satisfied, you know, by my mate, you know what I mean? Or how can I pay my bills? You know what I mean? Or, you know, when my employer's not giving me enough hours, you know, or I'm not getting enough in my pay and I'm working like a slave, you know what I mean? Or you deal with like a disease, a traumatic disease that comes in and takes over your life and you're trying to figure out how do I deal with this? These are all types of things that is going to mess with your mental health. You know, and it's always important to think of, well, how do I handle that? You know, so let us look at the word. I'm telling you, God is awesome. You guys have no clue, but God is awesome because I really didn't know what I was going to say. I told him, have your way, Holy Ghost. So many, I was talking to Pastor Jackie and we had a long conversation after the first session and we talked about scripture a lot and we really talked about the Bible story. If you can get a chance, go back and look at the first one, and it was so powerful. But just to back it up a little bit and just give you a real quick one, it was about the Benjaminites. Give me a moment. And in a man, his concubine, and these guys, he had company. And if my memory serves me correctly, I think they were angels, but the guy didn't know it at the time. And so they were wicked, the Benjaminites, you know, so they were kind of into that Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, that lifestyle. And so they came into and they wanted these guys that came in, and this guy, you know, a man of God, he took him in. And, you know, they knocked on his door like, yo, what's up? Where's your boys at? We want them. And dude already know, like, no, y'all, he was like, you can't have them, you know? And he kind of reasoned with them. Look, I got some virgins up in here. Yo, take them instead. And they're like, nope, we want the dudes. So, you know, and he was like, he could not do it. So he sacrificed his concubine, you know, which, you know, that says a lot about him, that, you know, he just threw her to the wolves. So, and then the assumption is that, you know, they raped that poor child till she was dead. Maybe, maybe not. And so he went, you know, when he found out he was so grief-stricken that he decided to go and get his homeboys to go and get those guys that did that to, you know, his concubine. He cut up their bodies, sent it to them, made it like they did it. And like, here, we got to go avenge my concubine. And as I was talking to Pastor Josh, we were talking about that, like, it's amazing, like, well, did she really die? Let's, you know, did she really die? You know, dude, you may have murdered her in a fit of rage, right? You know, of anger, you know, not knowing that she was there. She still could have been, like, breathing faintly, you know what I mean? So he may have actually killed her and not them. But again, the blame, right? He blamed everybody else for what he chose to do, which in result, that man flipped out. You know, and the people that he went into a manic phase. And that's something that, you know, bipolar individuals, they kind of go through. It's, you know, they have, you know, manic phases, and they normally last long, you know, I think like 2 weeks or so, but it takes, you know. And he was on that manic phase of anger, revenge. I'm out to avenge her death, you know what I mean? But then you also look at, he may have also been traumatized by that, and he's exhibiting PTSD, his own self, because, you know, built it, and then the anxiety, like, my side piece is gone, you know. So, but again, I like to look at, dude, you know, you, the spiraling, the ABC effect of everything. So that's just one Bible, you know, one. But also after that meeting, I started thinking about how many people in the Bible deal with mental disorders that we really don't pay attention to, you know, that, you know, that we could really take a closer look. And so I came up with a few. And some of you already, well, a lot of you probably know about depression between Elijah and Jeremiah. And remember, every time that Elijah would do something great for the Lord and Jezebel would come after him, dude would go running and hiding. You know what I mean? And he would, you know, become anxious, and he would become, you know, the depressed. And the Lord would go, yo, dude, I got you. Why you up there like that? You know, for him, because he was human as well as a prophet, you know. And even I looked at Jeremiah, you know, when you know, everyone knows about him. He was the crying prophet, you know, and he struggled, you know, with, you know, doing his assignment. He told God, yo, I'm not ready for this. You know, I'm still a babe, you know, and how he would groan and moan about the things that he had to do and tell God's people, but yet he was obedient to them. You know, you could think about those things that we all deal with, that, you know, how we have those depressed, I can't do this. You know what I mean? This is just, you know, I'm not worthy. You know, they felt that they were unworthy. You feel worthless. You don't feel like you're able to do it, right? So Moses, he was another one I felt that dealt with anxiety and depression. And to me, he worried a lot, you know, especially when God first called him, he worried about his assignment. He told him, I can't do this, G. I stutter. you know, get somebody else to do it. Remember, it's fear-based anxiety, right? It's fear-based. It's not having a control. So because, you know, he stuttered, he felt that he didn't have that control to speak the word of God instead of trusting him, right? And also depression, right? Dude was steady. I'm going to give you this and boom, I'm running back to God. You know what I mean? I got to get away. It's like he shuts himself down off of the, my God, in Zion. He shuts himself down off of them, off of people. You know, I don't believe that was what God had intended for him, but that's that human component of who we are. I'm praying y'all are catching this in the spirit, because I know I am. You know, he shut down. You know, he couldn't think straight. So, you know, of course, we go into the safety. We go dwelling in that 91, right? You know, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide in thee. So he goes running back to his safety place. But also he left so many behind. He shut himself off. And depression will do that to you. It will have you shutting yourself off to, trust me when I'm telling you, you know, you stay to yourself. You don't want to be bothered, you know. I mean, the good thing about Moses was at least he ran to Jesus, you know, to God and, you know, allowed God to minister to him. But, you know, hold on, let me make sure I get my footing here. Please don't fall. Joseph. Now, this one was interesting. I really had to sit and think about Joseph. And let's just look at his story, right? So Joseph, you know, he was the last of Isaac's kids, right? So no, Benjamin was. He was next to the last, but he was his favorite because it was by his favorite wife, Rachel, right? And he's another one that he probably went through some stuff too, right? With Leah and Rachel. Come on now, there's a bunch of them, right? But for him to have his siblings, you know, the ones you felt that would be your security, the ones that you felt that would have your back, they turned against you and sold you. That's got to be traumatic, you know, even walking around knowing that your brothers didn't love you and you get depression. Well, you know, they don't love me. Why? You know what I mean? I know this, though, that, you know, but we know that Joseph was, he, you know, kind of was full of himself, even though he didn't understand who he was becoming. You know, we know how we are as youth, but he at least, you know, in the pit, he, you think they, the sack there. Let's think about the pit for a while. Come on. Come on, y'all. I did something called, you know, the prodigal son. That was another pit. But this pit, he didn't choose. In the prodigal son, he chose that pit, right? But even in that pit experience, you know, you deal, come on, Holy Ghost, you deal with depression, right? You deal with anxiety. You deal with a plethora of thoughts. All negative, right? All negative. I could just imagine being down in that pit, probably crying and wailing. How could you do this to me? You know, I'm your sibling. Why would you do this to me? I love you. You know what I mean? You know, he wanted his brothers to be excited when he used to tell them about their dreams, but they didn't want to hear that stuff. You know what I mean? They thought he was all being all haughty and no, he wanted to share the joy of this, even though he may not understood it all. And then they got jealous about it, you know? So for him, and then to think, okay, he gets out of it, right? He gets out of it, goes into the favor of the Lord was on. And then the wife, his boss's wife tried to come on to him and what? She lied on him and he had to go to jail again. So again, dude had to get locked up. So he keeps getting put into places of bond. Come on, Holy Ghost, of bondage. Bondage. This is what this is all about, being bonded, you know, being bound in your mind, bind in your mind. Those mind-binding spirits in your mind trying to keep you down or keep control of you. That's what mental health is. It deals with. That's what your mind is dealing with, you know. And sorry, y'all. You know, I can go on a tangent. Sorry about that. So next we want to deal with David, right? David was another one, right? David dealt with a lot of anxiety and PTSD, right? Let's look. David, his life was so unique, right? You know, here he was, you know, the come on, Holy Ghost, the child that his father just didn't really give a rat's patoot about, right? He kept him in the fields away from everybody else, right? And so when Samuel came to him to get who God was going to anoint the king, he gave him all these other ones, all the physical attributes of what he felt would be appropriate for a king. And God was like, nope, that ain't the one, that ain't the one, till they all got down. He kept asking, is there not another one? And so he was like, yeah, I got one in the field. Boom. And he anointed him. Boom, that's him right then and there. But just think of him being alone all by himself. Just think of that basic need of being loved, being accepted. You know, look at that, how he probably wasn't getting that. You know what I mean? He didn't have the looks of his sibling. He probably dealt with it, you know, the depression. You know what I mean? I don't look like my siblings. I'm not cute. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody going to want me, you know. But then he also dealt with anxiety. Let's look at that, you know, that fear of uncontrol. His own son, he kept running. He had to run his whole life. When you look at David's life, he ran. That man didn't really hit to me. He really didn't have no peace. None whatsoever. He struggled. You know, he went through so much. His own son turned against him and thought that he could be a better king than him. He had to run from his own son. Now tell me about that. That's got to be for a parent. I mean, you know, looking at that from a parent, somebody that you know, bring life into this world turns on you. Look at that from the PTSD perspective of, I can't believe my child would do this to me. I can't get over that. I can't wrap my mind around my child wanting to harm me. Just think of that, the mind, just reeling, it keep going, right? It doesn't stop. The fear you feel that I can't even go to sleep, right? Because, you know, my child might come and kill me. Or even with the king, Saul, he's always running and he had to hide. You know, and that's what PTS always deals with. It's that flight, that hide or flight risk. You're always in crisis mode. It doesn't come off, you know? And just to think of that, who wants to live their life like what David did? Like, wow, like, I mean, just, whoo, I mean, great things came out of it. But when you look at it, that man's life didn't appear to be all that happy. When you look at it in a negative way, in a mental health kind of way, you know, but, you know, he did use better coping skills, right? Because, you know, he was able to give God glory through it all. So he did the right thing. He changed that negative to a positive by taking it and showing that, hey, through it all, God got to the glory and I'm going to praise him. You know, he was a man after God's own heart, right? So Saul, let's look at King Saul, right? He was the people's choice, kind of like we deal with Biden right now, the people's choice, right? So let's look at him. To me, he kind of dealt with psychosis and the bipolar, right? His mind was possessed. Right. And it exhibited erotic behaviors when, you know, as the scripture talks about him having that, he, you know, put that spirit on him and, you know, how it would overcome on him. And he would just go after David. And you know what I mean? Those are manic phases that he was exhibiting, you know, and how he always wanted to do harm, that anger, that psychosis, you know, that delusional state, you know what I mean? That command, you know, command hallucinations and things that tells you to go out and kill somebody. You know, or it could be, he could have been auditory, which is hearing it. He could hear it, or he could see the demons maybe telling him to go and do it, you know, or ushering him to do it, you know. So, you know, Saul's life was, you know, it was, he suffered hard and long, you know. And then we have our lovely Tamar, you know, that poor child, you know, felt bad that, you know, again, the safety, PTSD, that safety. She probably dealt with anxiety and depression along to it. But the focus is that PTSD for her, that her own brother that would sit up there and do that to her and then throw her away like rags. And then her father just kind of just let lay low. Let's not, you know, let's just keep this quiet. Let's just, you know, let, you know, that passiveness, right? That passive mindset of, let's just, But her brothers were like, oh no, y'all going down. You know, they devised their own plan, made them get circumcised, and then they killed them when they was in their weak moment. Come on now. But just think about her as a female. How many women deal with, you know, sexual assault, right? Sexual abuse. They're, you know, how about, you know, just being, their minds being perverted at such young ages, you know what I mean? How the enemy comes in and just takes your innocence away at such a young age, and how we have to try to mask that as we continue to get older and older. But again, it always comes out, as they say, in the wash, because it comes out in your behavior. But just think about her. I'm pretty sure some of you guys yourselves on here have probably dealt with that male or female yourselves. And just think about how you had to mask that and put it down, but in the back of your mind, you know, in that subconscious, in your long-term thinking, it's still there. And you're still dealing with those minds. I can't believe this happened to me. Why would they do this to me? How could you hurt me? I trusted you. Again, Maslow's hierarchies of needs are not being met, right? You know, that security that you're looking for has been altered. And that's what we deal with when we're dealing with our emotions, what we're dealing with our mind. Our experiences have been altered. Our safety has been interrupted. You know, something in our experiences has caused, and then our mind is trying to think, how do I navigate this? What do I do to help myself to be able to be normal, right? How do I be normal or appear normal to everyone? Meanwhile, my mind is going through hell, right? So again, we talked about that earlier about negative coping skills, right? And so on this, okay, come on, come to mama. Or maybe we're there. Yeah. Let me make sure, guys. Okay, so let us start reflecting, right? Let's start reflecting as I start to bring it on down. Mental health reflections. Remember, mental illness is about the lived experience, and our mind is trying to figure out a way to navigate through life while making sense of the trauma we have experienced. So remember that mental illness is about your trauma. And you know, how do you, then the next step of this to kind of move on the progression of wanting to heal thyself. So how do we navigate through that trauma? What positive coping skills can we use that'll help us, you know, work through the depression, the anxious thoughts, you know what I mean? Or, you know, they call these intrusive thoughts. They're negative thoughts. A lot of times they call intrusive thoughts like suicidal thoughts. Oh, I wish I was dead. I want to die, you know? So it's always kind of an ending thing that you want to deal with intrusiveness, right? So here, I always look at me, and I look at my, for me, I always attribute it to my faith. And that was something that my mother taught us all to do, is God is, you know, he's our help, right? He is the one that is going to give us what we need. And so for me, I always say faith is the, for me, is the best. And so through that, there's some good scriptures dealing with the mind that you can, faith is the answer, but, you know, I want us to remember that the enemy does not want us to live free, right? I talked about it a little bit earlier, how he will send his goons, you know, and gives those demons and those, the mind-spelling demons. You got that Leviathan, you know, that's that big old snake, you know, that it coils, right? So when it tight, it want to constrict you, your mind is like that, right? When you think about mental health, your mind is dealing with constriction, right? Because you can't get out of that thought process. You can't break it, you know? So you're dealing with with that being tightened and you know, you're trying to, and it just gets worse and worse. Every tribe you try to navigate your way out of it. Another one is the deaf and dumb spirit. Come on, Holy Ghost. I don't know where he going with this, y'all, but this is the day that he going to set you free, okay? So that deaf and dumb spirit comes to mind, right? And the deaf and dumb spirit is kind of quiet sheep, right? Jesus healed that deaf and dumb spirit out of that young man, right? When he drove those legions of demons into those pigs and they went to that water, right? Come on, Holy Ghost. So the deaf and dumb spirit is the kind that wants you to not be able to open up your mouth and speak. It wants you to, you know, stay like, it's kind of like somebody trying to scare you. You know, you can't hear, you can't think. Your mind is kind of like a deer with heads, right? Like you're just sitting there like that, right? And that kind of that it wants to mute you. So you can't speak that word that will give you life, right? You can, it wants you to shut your mouth, you know? So the enemy is going to use that kind of a spirit on you. Or another good one is the spirit of infirmity, right? The spirit of infirmity, you know, where you're sick. Okay. So when you're sick, you can't think on those, right? We can't think on those things that are good, right, and pleasing to the Lord, right? Because we're so in that constriction of, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, my body is so hurt. And why, Lord, did you do this? Why would you allow me to get sick like this? You know, I'm in so much pain. Oh, my back. Oh, my neck. Oh, my thighs. Oh, my legs. I can't do this. I can't do that. So that spirit of affirming, he uses that spirit to keep your mind on the issue, right? Not on God, but on the issue itself, so that all you can do is stay zeroed in and, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, I got cancer. Oh my goodness, oh my, I got diabetes. I can't eat no cake no more. I can't have no sweet potato pie no more. How am I going to live? You know, what do I do about this or this? You know what I mean? Or, you know, there's so many illnesses that we could take. But again, that death, the spirit of infirmity, it comes into to keep your focus off on the Lord. And that's why the enemy sends those different spirits to us, you know, to come and keep us away from the Lord. And, you know, this is the day that the Lord is setting you free. So I hope that you are receiving this. I hope that you are allowing the Lord to minister to you in this, to hope you open up your mind and get free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be free. Loosen. We thank you, Lord Jesus. My God, my God. We loosen those binding spirits right now in the blood of the Lamb. Right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Right. Come on, Holy Ghost. We got work to do here. We know we got stuff to do, but also another way to help us is scripture. Right. So we, you know, you got to combat the good with the bad. Right. So the best way to help is scripture. One of my all time favorites, I think, is besides, you know, the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, is create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, Lord Jesus. I love that because that deals with your mind, right? That deals with everything, your emotions, right? It deals with every aspect of your being. So you're covering everything when you are asking the Lord to create in you a clean heart, right? Because when God comes to us and we're going to get judged, we're getting judged by our heart, right? We're going to get judged by our heart because what our mind is the behaviors, right? Out of your heart, you know, in your mind, your actions come out, right? So there's some scripture references here that I have that I think are good dealing, quote unquote, with the mind. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 2:11-16. And it says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit? Hold on, guys. The spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, right? All of these versions, all these scriptures are the King James version, just in case you wanted to know, right? And then the second one, 2 Corinthians 10:5 states, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, right? So when we're dealing with those mind, the mind boggling, right? We're dealing with the anxious mind, well, the worried mind, right? Or if we're dealing with the depressed mind, right? Or, you know, or the PTSD, all those, we want to bring those thoughts that come to us that are negative, that wants to keep us bind. We want to cast them down in Jesus' name, right? Soon as it says I'm ugly, cast it down in the name of Jesus. No, I'm not. I am wonderfully and fearfully made in his, come on, Holy Ghost, in his image and light. You got to cast that puppy down right now in the name to yourself. You got to speak it, right? You got to, you know, the life and death is the power of the tongue, right? So you got to remember to speak those things as though they may. Come on now, because they got to go out. You know, they have, your words have power, right? So we're looking at positive things that we could do to help ourselves, right? We know no longer want to work on the neck, but let's time to get healed. This is the time that we are going to be healed in the name of Jesus. I'm declaring that, and I'm decreeing that right now, that we're going to be healed today. And I know I'm going to receive my healing. I hope you receive your healing, right? I want us to know that who God sets free is free indeed, which is in the end of that. But I just wanted to keep on with, and don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? So in that, we want to not focus on the world. Don't focus on your problem, right? Because he is the problem solver, is he not? God says, come unto me, all ye healed, weary, heaven laden. Rest your burdens on me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. I always mess that up, so forgive me, guys. But I love, that's another one of my favorite scriptures. Because here it is God is saying, I got you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide in thee. Come on, y'all, come on. God is here, right? So all he's saying is, come unto me. I got this. Come unto me, though my yoke. Okay, because you got to suffer. Jesus told us, we got to suffer. Just like he suffered. We are to model our lives like Jesus Christ did, then we got to suffer like Jesus Christ did. But Jesus showed us the way, right? Because he is the truth and the life. He showed us how to overcome, even when the enemy kept throwing them. And yes, he did get discouraged. There's no doubt about it. But he knew his assignment, right? And I think that's where we're all at. We're trying to learn who we are. And God is saying, just come unto me. I will give you rest. And no, it ain't easy, because the enemy going to come at you again and again. But what we do, we're going to cast those thoughts down. Those mind-binding thoughts. We're going to cast them down in the name of Jesus. Yes, we are. We're not going to let the worry get to us no more. How are we going to pay our bills, you know what I mean? Or how am I going to eat, right? You know, or how am I going to make this happen? Because we have a Father. He cried out to him, Abba, Father. Because he wants to hear from you. Don't run like Moses and you know, where you want to shut yourself down. I mean, run to God, yes. But it was selfishness that he did it. It wasn't, okay, I'm going to do this for the Lord, and then I'm going. No. God wants to use us. And I want to share this with you guys. I think maybe 2 weeks ago or something. People don't, if you're a prophet, you understand me well and this, that. We want to be perfect for God. We want to do everything right. Scripturally, boom, ba-bang, bing, bong, 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 right? Well, you know, but we're not total, right? And the Lord said, allow me to perfect you. Thank you, Jesus. He said, allow me to perfect you. You see what I'm saying? So that, again, let the control go, right? Allow him in to do the work. And that's where the scripture references is going to keep helping you. When you allow the scriptures, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Even if you've grown in your spirit and can't get it out, even when the enemy is trying to mess with your mind, keep you thinking in that loop of, I can't believe this happened to me. I'm this, I'm that, no this, that, that. Go to your scriptures. Find that freedom and allow him to give you what you need. You know, don't allow yourself to keep going in that loop where like you're the Israelites wandering in 40 years, just wandering around in a loop in a circle when you could have been done in 7 days. Hello? Come on, come on. And so our next one is Isaiah 26, 3 would say, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So when we give our lives to the Lord and when we truly trust him, when we trust him, he's going to give us that peace because our mind is on the Lord. And so when our mind is on the Lord, when we are constantly focusing on the things of the Lord, we do not have time for the enemy and his stuff, right? So we don't have time to deal with those anxious thoughts or those depressed thoughts, you know, or those crisis thoughts, those intrusive thoughts that try to keep us stuck somewhere.
It's a cry from the heart.
And then the next one that I like is Philippians 2:5, which says, fulfill my joy that ye may be like-minded. Sorry, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Again, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. So that's the important part, the also, right? So it's one, you got to keep your mind, like let your mind be in you, number one, right? Number two, which is what also, number three, Christ Jesus. Come on now, the Trinity. I know they talk about that, and I ain't get that to do. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is Trinity, three. So keep your mind in him. And when you keep your mind on him, God will give you the strategy to deal with what you have to deal with. He'll show you what you need to do. You know, he'll show you what to do. He'll show you how to handle things, right? He'll keep you going. He won't let you down when you put your focus on the Lord. He'll give you what you need when you need it. If you just open your mouth and say, Abba, Father, Abba, help me. I always like this one scripture was so interesting, and it was in John, and it was Mary Magdalene when Jesus died. When he was in the tomb, and she went in there to see him, and he had to rebuke her, you know, because she was just sitting there in mourning, and it was like he was telling her, I'm paraphrases, like, you know, you got to let me go, I got to do this, and I'm, oh, come on, Holy Ghost, and I'm saying that to you, that you got to let this go, right? Because you got to let this go, you got to let that pain of your past go. You can't keep allowing your past to dictate your present and your future. You got to learn how to cope with it in better ways than what you usually do. You know what I mean? And yes, that takes a lot of time. It is not easy. I mean, we struggle with it, and I promise you'll probably struggle with it for the rest of our life. But it's how do you struggle that makes the difference, right? It's how do you struggle? So in the final reflections is our minds need to be changed for us to be free. For again, like I said, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. And today is the day to free your mind. Will follow. And that is my presentation for you all. I don't know, is there, we can open this up for prayer if anyone needs to be prayed upon. prayed for, or if you would like to give a reflection or share a testimony, because testimonies also help those who are struggling get through. If you showing me that even in your weaknesses and even what you're going through, and yet you can make it and you giving God the glory, then you're uplifting me, right? So how can let's uplift each other? So let's open this up. Let's unmute ourselves and let's start talking.